Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Let me go. Hey, stop! Put the barrier.
I don't want to be your hero. I don't want to be your big man. Just want to fight with everyone else.
You guys ready to have some fun?
Yeah!
Yeah! All right, don't worry about it.
Wish we could use the bumpers.
You don't want the bumpers. Life doesn't give you bumpers.
We have a new student joining us today.
Hey, dude. Welcome to the suck.
So let me go.
Mom.
I don't wanna be.
Have you been drinking?
A little bit.
Oh.
Hey. Everyone deserves a chance to
walk. Who do you want to be, Mason? What do you want to do?
Well, that's the trailer from a very interesting new movie called Boyhood. It's interesting not only because of the story that it tells, but it's interesting because of the way that it was filmed over the course of 12 years with the actors, the principal actors, all aging in real time. It name says what I think the film is supposed to be about a coming of age, but coming of age in real time over the course of 12 years, from 6 years old for this young man to 18. We're going to be reviewing the movie Boyhood here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, September the 19th. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese will be with us for the first half hour for this movie review. After that, Dr. Angus Manoj will be our guest. Part three of our five-part weekly series with him on the important philosophers, kind of skimming the top surface of the philosophical world over the history of the world. We'll be talking about 17th century French philosopher René Descartes with Dr. Angus Manoj in the second half hour of the program. In hour two, Terry Mattingly will join us. We're going to spend some time with him talking about this wedding that was performed at the Vatican. Very interesting thing. The Pope doesn't often do weddings. That's just not what the Pope does. But he did 20 of them all at once at the Vatican. And when he does that, everyone safely assumes he's trying to say something. He's not just doing a photo op. He's trying to send a message. Now, the media's coverage of this, they caught on to the fact that some of these couples had, well, it's hard to tell. Had they cohabitated beforehand? Some of them had children together. Were they still cohabitating? It's difficult to tell from the media coverage. But, of course, the media wants the Pope to say something by this. And what they want, in essence, putting words in his mouth, saying the Pope is going to be changing the church's teaching on cohabitation, on sex before marriage. Is that true? Is that what the facts are? And is that, in fact, what Pope Francis was trying to do when he married 20 couples recently at the Vatican? We'll talk with Terry Mattingly about that and see what he thinks of the media coverage of that important event. Then, in the last 45 minutes or so of the program, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. We're going to talk about Isaiah chapter 55, two verses in Isaiah chapter 55, 6 and 7. And as we usually do with Pastor Ketchelmeyer, he goes in depth. He goes very deep into the Old Testament. He'll take us, in some cases, word by word to find Christ in the Old Testament. Now, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet, @issuesetc. And our beloved on-demand listeners, I know that you're listening. Whenever you listen, you can still give us a question or a comment on what we're talking about. Our comment line is always open for you, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Boyhood, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that time itself is a character in this movie, Boyhood. What do you mean?
Yeah, you know, recently we talked about the movie Amadeus, and I was talking to a music historian the other day, and we ended up talking about this movie too. And at the end of that movie, Mozart and Salieri are in the room together as Mozart's dying, and the music historian said, "And then there was the other character in the room." And I said, "Which character was that?" And they said, "Music." So I was thinking about that as I was watching this movie, and it kind of dawned on me that time itself is like a character in the movie. And it acts so much so because this movie is shot over 12 years. So you see the natural aging of the actors in the film in a way that you never see in movies. Like, it's normally done with age makeup, and you have to, like, put different actors. If you have kids growing up, you got to pick different actors to play the kids at different ages, because everything's happening. Even if they're going to portray a period of time unfolding, everything is happening in such a short period of time for the filmmaking process. So in this particular case, you actually see them age the way they actually age. So time itself is just right in there up front, and you're thinking about it all the time through the whole film.
Is it more than just a gimmick, then, it sounds like? More than just a way of making film that I don't know if anybody's ever tried this before, to actually take people, all the principal actors, without artificially aging them, just letting time do its work. I take it emerges as far more in the film than just a gimmick in the way the film was shot.
Yeah, it sounds like a gimmick right off the bat when you first hear about it, but when you actually see it, the movie is about 2 hours and 45 minutes long, and it's just so deliberate and so patient. And when you know that, you know, they had every year, they basically shot a short film that chronologically told this scripted story. So it goes past the point of being gimmicky because of just how, what a labor of love it is. Like, you can kind of see that as the film is up on the screen.
What story is it telling?
Well, the title of the film is called Boyhood, so the central character really is this young boy named Mason, and you meet him when he's like 5 or 6 years old, and then for like the next 12 years, you kind of follow his life. And he lives a life that's probably very familiar to lots of people. He comes from a broken home. His parents are divorced, and he has chances to see his father on the weekends. He lives with his mother. He has a sister, and he's going through childhood, going through adolescence, moving into adulthood. And that's kind of the story. I showed the trailer to somebody who works in our office, and they said, "Well, it just looks like real life." So it kind of in some ways is. There are going to be points of contact in the film for pretty much everybody watching it, where they're going to go, "Well, I remember that from my childhood," or those experiences along the way. There's going to be other things, like clearly not everyone does grow up in a family where there's divorce. Like, there's lots of people who have mother and father intact through their whole adolescence and childhood and into their adulthood. But that's what you get, this story, and it's weathering all of the moments as they come in life and all the circumstances that crop up.
You say that it asks a question, Boyhood poses the question, what if you aren't seizing the moment in life? What if the moment is seizing you? What does that mean?
Well, you know, we're kind of familiar with that term, you know, carpe diem. You know, we have a limousine company in town, and it's got that on their kind of limousines and stuff. So that's carpe diem, is seize the day. Right. So it's this kind of like, okay, here you are in the moment, grab hold of it. But the movie eventually asks the question, you know, what if the moment is grabbing you? So what if it's not so much about you making the most of a situation, but more you in that situation? So that's the question that it asks. I think it's kind of an interesting question for for Christians, if you kind of take a step away from like a, maybe a secular kind of way of thinking about that and think about the way in which the Holy Spirit works in the lives of Christians and people in the world, you know, St. Paul says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. We believe the word of God is efficacious. And it's the word of God working on us that impacts us and makes a change. It's not us grabbing hold of the word of God and like seizing the day sort of thing. So the idea that, you know, something outside of yourself can be the thing that does the thing that makes the impact. I think that's something that's interesting for the Christian who's watching this movie, Boyhood.
Now, I mean, time is obviously a theme that's, that Scripture embraces and has a lot to say about. Generally speaking, in terms of man's mortality, is that something that is dealt with in the film Boyhood?
Yeah, the thing that kind of popped in my head as I was watching it is what St. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. And there's a section where he's kind of contrasting what's permanent, like Christ and his blood, which bought us, against what is impermanent, which is all mankind, which he says is like the grass withers and the flower falls. Of course, in Christ, we have the hope of resurrection. But in the course of this movie, as you're watching it, you see this boy and he's growing like grass. He's just flourishing, you know, as he grows. And I mean, life's issues and troubles and circumstances come along for him too. But on the parallel track, you see his parents who are aging and getting older, and the kids aging and growing up, and the parents are aging and getting older. And you see that kind of the flower falls kind of happening with the parents. You know, at one point, you know, his mother, played by Patricia Arquette, says, you know, I spent half my life getting all my stuff, and now I'm going to spend the other half of my life getting rid of all my stuff, right? And the saddest moment for her is one of his happiest moments, you know, as he's going off for college, you know, she breaks down and cries because her youngest is leaving the house and is going. So you see that so much in this film, and it's really that passage from St. Peter, 1 Peter 1, like just kind of popped right into my head as I was watching it.
You talk about two scenes that might, for the, especially for the Christian viewer, bring that home. One in which the character Mason is supposed to kind of spot paint around the house, and another one that actually deals particularly with the with at least in a minor way with death. What are they?
Yeah, he's you know, they really put him together as like one of these kids that's really inquisitive. He loves like arrowheads and all sorts of things like that, you know. And so they show him sitting kind of beside the garage and the fence, looking at the ground, kind of a small introspective moment for him. And he looks at this decomposing little carcass of a bird that's died. It's just a small bird, like a sparrow kind of a thing. And, you know, it's definitely this young boy, you know, 6 years old or so, looking at this bird and having a little tiny quick contemplative moment. Like as an adult watching the film, that dead bird is screaming, you know, death, and you contrast that right against the young boy who's looking at it. And that's early on in the film. The second part that where he's spot painting and in the house, like that's right before their big move. Like make a big move from California to Texas. So the rest of the movie all takes place in Texas, various cities and communities in Texas. But in the spot painting, his mom is just saying, okay, paint over anything that, you know, any marks or anything like that. So then he's at the door jamb, and he's very first very carefully painting over the marks where his mother has marked how tall he has been growing, right? And a lot of families have that in their house, that spot on the wall where they mark how tall people, like their kids are getting, right? And then he's like, after kind of just like very carefully doing it a little bit, then he's like painting over the whole thing. And like those moments, I think, really kind of indicate the impermanence of certain things in our lives. And the Christian then wants to contemplate and be drawn towards those things that are permanent.
With only about a minute here, is there any element of that in Boyhood, those things that are permanent, that do not change the Word of God? Less than a minute here, Ted.
Yeah, you know, there's a scene where he is about 15 years old and he gets presents from step-grandparents that he gets through his father. And he gets a vintage shotgun. He gets a suit from his mom and dad. And the other thing he gets from his grandparents, his step-grandparents, is a Bible, a red-letter edition Bible. And it's got his name right on it. And these are items that they figure he's going to need for the rest of his life. And, you know, the director, Richard Linklater, doesn't editorialize a lot with that. He presents it in, you know, I think a pretty kind way. And there is this moment where this character, you know, is introduced to Scripture, and then you see him in church, and he hears about Jesus and Doubting Thomas, or Thomas, the you know, the disciple there. And then there's a discussion about baptism that ensues. But the whole thing just kind of floats along, right? So he's floating through life, and this is a moment where God and God's enduring word crush in on him. You know, and then that moment kind of passes. I think as Christians watching the movie, it's good for us to think about that, particularly in the context of visitors who come to our church. Just remember that they've got this big, huge life story that's unfolding, and they're there for that day. So keep them, I guess, in your prayers. It was just something that stuck out at me. But yeah, that's where you find God's word very clearly cropping up in the course of the film.
Folks, if you want a uniquely Lutheran perspective on the movies, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of Boyhood. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Angus Manoj, part three of a five-part weekly series we're doing with him on important philosophers. When we come back, 17th century French philosopher René Descartes. Stay tuned.
And we're going to have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.